The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy and ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
My next guest, it's actually been quite a number of years since he has been on the program. He is Vice President of Government and External Relations with Focus on the Family and author of a new book that is a breath of fresh air. It's entitled American Restoration, How Faith, Family, and Personal Sacrifice Can Heal Our Nation. Tim Gagelein is appearing this Monday in the San Fernando Valley in Calabasas at the Pepperdine Calabasas campus, giving a talk entitled Faith in the Halls of Power. Tim Gagelein, welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Tim, how are you?
Frank, it is a joy to be with you. Many thanks from Washington, D.C.
It's always good to hear your voice, and I'm kind of taken aback. It's been probably 3 or 4 years since we last talked. Thank you for coming back to Southern California Monday to share a bit about your book and what's going on in our country. Before we talk about American restoration, I just want to ask you your take on what's transpiring in our country, especially over the last handful of years. It seems like we hear so much about division and strife. From your perspective, what do you see going on in America?
Well, Frank, it's so tempting to say that this is, you know, the most divided we've ever been. And whether you're in an audience of liberals and progressives or conservatives and traditionalists, that's the temptation. But the reality is that Americans have been, in several hinges of history, very divided. You know, in the American Revolution, one-third of Americans did not support the revolution. One-third were indifferent, and, you know, one-third were patriots. If you add that up, that's two-thirds again. 750,000 people died in the Civil War, and a president was murdered. That's giant division. The social and moral revolution of the 1960s, major divisions over Vietnam and Watergate. So we have been, divided before. Our politics has been poisonous. The largest historical question is, what is the way forward? What kind of a country do we want 50 years from now? And frankly, the issue that we raise in our book and the thing that I'm going to be talking at Pepperdine is how do we restore the country? How do we renew and regenerate a really great country? What are the steps we have to take toward American restoration? And that's why we chose it as the title of our book.
So to emphasize the point again, before we get into the good news, if you will, you're emphatic and clear in your statement saying, look, let's be careful about what we buy into, especially as the way the mainstream media reports what's going on in our country.
Well, I think that's right. And I think just the last 2 weeks is a very good example. A journalist who I respect a lot said, you know, if we were looking at the fate and state of American journalism the last 10 days regarding Justice Kavanaugh, you'd say, you know, impeach American journalism. So, you know, we have a lot of challenges, needless to say, but I am absolutely a hopefulist to the core. I believe that America's best days are genuinely ahead of us, not because I'm a confetti-to-the-wind optimist. It's just I believe that restoration and renewal and regeneration in a great country like ours, even with all the difficulties, Frank, I do believe that restoration is probable. And the largest question, as I say, is how do we get there?
Okay. Not that it's an easy answer, but I'll pose the question, how do we, in part, begin to get there?
Well, this is the answer, if I may say, that our book, seeks to answer. And the thing we decidedly do not do is we say it's not going to be a conservative version of a top-down fix like the Great Society, you know, or right. or the New Deal. It begins from the bottom up. It begins with marriages, families, and parents. It begins in churches and in synagogues. It begins in communities and neighborhoods where we live. All of the seedlings of restoration begin in the home, in the neighborhood, and where we live and work. You know, and that's why in our book, Frank, we say you have to restore the United States Constitution. You have to restore the family. You have to restore civility. I mean, may I say, just basically, in the way, and, you know, I love your question. You know, we have to find a way nationally to restore civility in the public square. In other words, we really can disagree agreeably. There's a way to do that, and we have to do it, left or right. It's something that we have to have a national commitment to, because otherwise we will remain in a kind of cold civil war, and that's not decidedly worthy of a great country like the United States.
Tim Gagelein is my guest, co-author of the brand-new book, American Restoration, How Faith, Family, and Personal Sacrifice Can Heal Our Nation, written along with Craig Austin. I believe that's the way you say Craig's last name. When did you decide to begin the endeavor of writing such a book? And again, I don't want to overstate the obvious, but Tim, anybody tuning in, I would think a lot of listeners are going, man, I can kind of breathe a sigh of relief because I just hear doom and gloom 24/7.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because despair and discouragement is a sin. It negates the hope of Jesus Christ. It negates the hope that there is a possible way forward. And I believe that very strongly. And the seeds of this book, as one of the vice presidents that focus on the family, Frank, I travel a lot, almost a third of the time. And whether I'm speaking to an audience of progressives or conservatives, after I finish my remarks, typically, and with almost pinpoint precision, the hands go up and people will say the following: I've never been more concerned about my country.
Right.
If they have children or grandchildren, right, they say, I've never been more concerned about the country that I'm leaving them. But most importantly, Frank, they say, and I don't know what to do.
Yep.
And on that last point, after hearing I don't know what to do for about the 1 millionth time, I picked up the telephone, I called my friend Craig, and I said, let's do a book that doesn't talk about all the problems. Let's do a book that talks about the solution. Let's talk about a practical way that real people, real moms, dads, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, who care about the country can read in a way that speaks to them and says, here is a practical way to help restore America. And that's what we set out to do in this book.
If you're listening, and again, this is refreshing, Tim is coming to Southern California next Monday. I'll give the particulars about the event. It is next Monday afternoon starting at 5:30 at Pepperdine's Calabasas campus. And Tim will be there talking and sharing about his book and about the state of country and the state of faith. For those that may not know a little bit about you, kind of a little bit of a precursor, you're not anyone that is necessarily a stranger to culture wars. You've been around for a good deal of time and have done quite a bit in your young life.
Well, you're great to ask. I worked for a decade for U.S. Senator Dan Cook in the United States Senate. I worked for 8 years as a special assistant to George W. Bush at the White House. And for the last 11 years, I am one of the vice presidents that focus on the family. And I'm thrilled, Frank, that you said what you said, because Craig and I, in this book, did not set out to write a political book, nor did we set out to write a culture war book, because that's not what this is about. It is primarily a book, however, about the cultural ability to restore a nation. You know, the political class is not going to restore America.
That's right.
And although there are great exceptions, there are great men and women in politics, I sometimes think that we ought to, you know, stop making politicians the grand marshals of any parade, because mostly the political class does not lead, they follow. Culture leads. You know, show me a country that is confident and secure in its marriage, family, and parenting. Show me a country that is, you know, secure in the way that it views and treats the most vulnerable, the most innocent human life, that cares about religious liberty and the rights of conscience, that is deliberate, you know, about recognizing that every boy will become a man, but not every man will become a gentleman. And what do we need to do in this era of great division on the gender questions, for instance? What do we have to do to bring up a new generation of gentlemen and ladies? And why is that still important? You know, whether you're in California, Maine, Washington State, you know, Michigan, Texas, we the people. We are one country. And even now, this is a question of unity and about the way forward.
Author Tim Gagelein is my guest. Tim, I hear in your voice not only talking about a national restoration, but what I hear the underpinnings indicate, you're also indirectly talking about, and if I'm wrong, correct me if I'm in the right ballpark, expound a bit. I also hear you talking about spiritual renewal.
Absolutely. Yes. This is a religious republic. You know, Italy, France, Germany, England, Canada, etc. You know, these are remarkable names. Not begin, you know, on a particular day at a particular constitutional. They do not begin with a set of founding fathers and mothers who were very clear about the spiritual foundation of America. And I want to be very careful because I think painting broadly can be very serious, and it's a breach of history. But our founding fathers and mothers were very clear. That is, if you want liberty and if you want freedom over time, if you want it to last, you better understand that the other side of liberty and the other side of freedom is virtue. And in the American experience, they said, where do you get virtue? What nourishes moral excellence in the people and in the leaders? Where does moral excellence come from that allows liberty and freedom to be sustained over time? And in the American experience, they said it comes from the Judeo-Christian tradition, not from a national church, not from government deciding, you know, who gets to be the church or what the official religion is. But they said give a wide swath to Judaism and to Christianity. Allow churches and ministries and paraministries and all those volunteer organizations that comprise the beautiful foundation of America, give them a large swath to do what they do well, because if so, you will ultimately end up with a functioning constitutional republic. That was a genius view, and it's as true in the 21st century as it is in the 18th century. We need to reattach the Judeo-Christian tradition to the public square and to our national life. And I'm very eager to talk about this at Pepperdine on Monday.
Well, again, I'm just, as I'm listening to you, I'm going in my head thinking about my schedule. I think I'm going to have to come out and visit you and thank you as well. This is phenomenal. Let me share a little bit more, and I'll give the information about, you'll be at Pepperdine, the Calabasas campus Monday. The book is American Restoration, How Faith, Family, and Personal Sacrifice Can Heal Our Nation. Tim Gagelein, Craig Austin are the authors of the book. Here's my question. You had made mention of, you reached out to Craig and said, let's write this book, not necessarily about the problem, but about the solution. And here's the question. From the beginning inception of the idea to the actual endeavor of doing the book, did you have some times where it's like, okay, maybe there's too much here, maybe this is too big of a task, or just the opposite, it wrote itself with God's truth, if you will?
Well, I'm thrilled that you asked this. I am a hopefulist to the core, as I said earlier in our interview. I'm not a confetti-to-the-wind optimist. I mean, I believe the glass is more than half, you know, half full, and I have a love affair with America. I mean, this is the greatest country in the history of mankind. Yes, when you're writing a book called American Restoration, you know, you have to feel confident in the institutions, and you have to feel confident in the first principles that undergird those institutions. And I feel very strongly, Frank, even now, even at this late hour, even with all of the challenges that we have, I believe there are people of really goodwill on both sides of the political aisle. I believe there are people who can say to each other with a straight face that somebody who disagrees with me 80% of the time is not my adversary or my enemy. Somebody who disagrees with me, in that regard, can be my friend. And you remember when Lincoln, in his greatest speech ever, said, "We must not be enemies, we must be friends." And what he meant is that at a very difficult moment, a very difficult chapter of American history, that it is possible for a great nation to rise to the task, and as I said, to agree that we can disagree agreeably, we can have a restoration of civility in the public square, and we can tackle the biggest problems that we have in a way that is good for families, marriages, parents. It's good for community, but it has to begin. It has to begin deliberately. And that is just one contribution. I'm sure there are many of other great ideas to say.
All right, let me put Tim on hold a second. Let me share. This is the realities of this day and age. All I can keep thinking is, I wish Tim was in studio with a clear mic. Oh my goodness, how can you, even if you're half listening, not hear the level of power and truth in what Tim's saying? And I think we lost him, but I was going to share my heart here. I got to say, doing this program each and every day, I find myself going home at night, distressed, going, goodness, we're in end times, and is there nothing redemptive about where to go? And I just listen to Tim and his heart. I'm definitely going to read the book. Like, we need to hear again. Where have we been? Wake up. Shake the sleep out of our eyes. God's got a plan here. We can move forward. Let's see if we got Tim back with somewhat of a clear connection. Tim, I was just sharing.
I am back. I was driving past one of our major Air Force bases in Washington where we have a national intelligence establishment. But I think it's possible, Frank, that's in the great world of live radio, while national intelligence sometimes overrides a great interview.
Wow. Well, I was just sharing my heart. I have to tell you, I do this program 5 days a week. I cover a lot of the news stories. And I'm just sitting here listening to you, and it's almost as if I'm having an epiphany, like, have I been asleep? Have I bought into, man, things are really dark? Because you're really not saying anything other than, on some level, I know is God's truth. But it's going to take us to go, it's one thing to stand on the sideline and say things are really bad, but it's a whole nother reality to say, I'm part of the solution, and I need to take a step forward and get involved in the, if you will, the healing of so much dissension and everything else that we hear nonstop 24/7.
You know, I was speaking about our book 2 weeks ago in a very large venue, and a woman at the end of the speech stood up, raised her hand, and she said, "The problems are so large.
Yep.
The nation is so big.
Yep.
I feel overwhelmed. I want to do something." She said, "Do I have to start with 1,000 people?" And I said, "Just the opposite." I said, "In a large, complex, continental nation of 329 souls, the way you begin is with one other person. You know, we have hundreds of thousands of young people in the foster and orphan care area. They just want to have a forever home. I mean, they want to have one Thanksgiving dinner with a real family. They want to have one birthday party. I met a young man several years ago talking about the breakdown of culture. He was 17. He had never had a birthday party, never been to anybody's home for Christmas or Thanksgiving. I mean, we're better than that as a nation. And the problem is the following. We sometimes think that the problems are so overwhelming that we somehow have to have a platoon or an army begin, but we don't. It begins with someone in our own neighborhood, in our own city, town, or village who is hurting. And what is it that we can do practically to enter into the life of one other person? You know, and they say American restoration, as you know, Frank, gives example after example, not just of what people have done, but what all of us can do to help restore the nation.
Two points of interest. Tim Gagelein is co-author of the new book, as well as Craig Osten, American Restoration, How Faith, Family, and Personal Sacrifice Can Heal Our Nation. You can purchase it at the usual places, Amazon, etc. The book was released July the 2nd. You can pick up a book for you and a family member who is in opposition to maybe the way you see the world. And also, Tim is coming to Southern California next Monday. We can thank the Pepperdine School of Public Policy. Tim will be at the Pepperdine Calabasas campus next Monday, starting at 5:30. Here's the information. You can go to the website publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu and scroll down to the bottom and click on the events. And you'll see the event, Faith in the Halls of Power, and that is Monday starting at 5:30 at the Calabasas campus of Pepperdine. Tim, I have to say, I know you're in D.C. and you travel a lot with Focus. If you ever find yourself in Los Angeles for any extended stay, please come into the radio station so we can sit down in studio for an hour and talk about the state of our nation, the state of our faith, and anything else you have on your heart. You have an open microphone. I hope and pray to see you soon.
Frank, I'm so honored to have been with you, and I look forward to being in Southern California next Monday. Thank you so much for everything that you do every day to advance all that we believe in. And from all of us at Focus on the Family, praise God for you.
Tim, thank you. God bless you. Again, Monday, Pepperdine Calabasas campus. Go to publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu and scroll down to the event section, and you'll see Faith in the Halls of Power. That's Monday starting at 5:30 at the Calabasas Pepperdine campus. The book, again, is called American Restoration. My goodness gracious. What an incredible time by which we hear not only is the future possible, I just hear Tim saying, oh no, maybe even our best days are ahead of us. American Restoration, phenomenal book. Tim Gagelein, Craig Osten, you can pick it up at the usual places.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.